Hello and welcome to the Thundercast, your favorite show that follows your favorite two-man power trip that we're supposed to watch a pretty bad show.
Because we did. Because we watched Nitro.
We did.
Yeah.
Because according to the sheets, Thunder is supposed to be worse than Nitro. However, this past Nitro on the Monday Night War Stories was the worst show ever for Nitro.
It was an abomination.
So let's see how this week's Thunder can do. But first, let me introduce you to the other half of this two-man power trip. You know him as one thing and one thing only. He's a good brother. The Human Wrestling Database, Corey Mack.
We can only go up from here, Joe.
Let's hope.
Only.
Because it's the go-home show to the go-home show to the Great American Bash.
Yeah, man.
And I am the host with the most. I am the Dong Sheen, Joseph Lussell. Let's go to June 11th, 1998 in Buffalo, New York for Thunder.
Anything good ever happen in Buffalo, New York?
No.
No.
The Bills?
Not since, like...
OJ?
Ooh, well...
Hey.
Hey, Jim Kelly says, hey, man.
Oh, I forgot Jim Kelly's there. I was going to say OJ because, you know, OJ has a new Twitter account.
I'm not following a killer.
I am.
Oh,
and the only only reason I am is because I want to see, like, the comments. And so he does this whole two-minute comment, like a two-minute video about, like, something I didn't listen. And I'm like, what's the first comment? And the first comment is, are you going to confess or what for murdering them? And then somebody commented on that one going, the glove didn't fit. And then somebody commented that with the Twitter handle, the glove didn't fit. And he said, I told you.
Did you see ACH tweeting him?
No.
So under his...
new one?
Jordan Miles.
Yeah.
So he's like, he even asked, hey, add the real OJ, just between us. Did you?
I'm already following it for the shit shows.
Because yeah.
I know Virgil... did the, if you need security.
Yeah, I saw that one.
So Buffalo, yeah, I'll get Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith.
Fair.
The Bills Mafia, who like to go through tables before every football fight, football match.
The Goo Goo Dolls?
They're from Buffalo?
They are.
I'll give them Goo Goo.
Yeah, we'll
give them Irish.
Irish was huge.
And let's start the show off with Pyro and with NW Hollywood sitting near the ramp with a limousine in the back.
And what do they got with them, Stu? Oh, they got some whores.
Some ladies of the night, which are probably accurate on
yes.
this.
Yes, they've certainly looked it.
Yes. So they're just sitting there, and should we go to them? No, let's go to commentary.
Thunder Shivani wants to
talk. Thunder Shivani wants to talk, and he talks about public relations are being bitches and postponing the announcement of something.
Well, you make me say it, and then don't show up. Tony will cut you.
I don't know what this announcement is about, but it's something big that is being postponed because...
I don't know if it's ever fucking announced.
Well, we're going to find out here on Thundercast or the Monday Night War Stories or maybe the Pay-Per-View War Stories because I have it down in my notes. Well, like in good old normal Thunder, let's recap Nitro. And it's the Wolfpack wanting DDP to join them. Bang. And then DDP is about to join them, but then...
Bang.
Bang. Dennis Rodman and Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, jump him.
The Wolfpack, who fell asleep in the ring, apparently, all woke up at the same time and realized there was a mugging going on.
They were all admiring Kurt Hennig's crutches.
Yeah. That's a mighty fine, sturdy crutch you got there, Kurt.
Hey, Konak, come look at this crutch.
Yeah.
Those are mighty fine. So we go from one recap to an NW Hollywood promo, and it's them sitting in front of, like, Hollywood chairs type things, and Giant saying that he's just going to beat Sting, and how that tonight he wants to challenge Luger to a tag match, and when he beats Sting at the Great American Bash, he has a new tag partner that he is going to have as his partner tonight. The Disciple?
Ooh, ooh. This is when I knew that Sting was probably winning at the Great American Bash.
What happened to second in command, Bryan Adams?
I mean, you saw that love letter to Scott Steiner on Nitro. Bryan Adams has done fell down the totem pole. He's below the disciple.
Yeah. The funny thing about this whole promo, I thought, it's that the disciple leaning on the giant like they're at a prom and they're about to take their photo. Because he's just leaning on, like, the giant's shoulder. Like, I'm waiting for the photo.
It was hilarious, man.
Yes. So, we get another promo, and it's Hogan making fun of people. Did you catch this, Corey?
I did.
It's Hogan and Rodman in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
In the ring. And they're just talking about Macho and Luger. What's wrong with this recap promo?
It wasn't on Nitro?
Yes. This promo never happened last Monday.
How At least not on TV. It didn't.
How? I was watching Thunder on my television, and I'm like, did I fall asleep?
I wouldn't have blamed you.
Did something happen? Did I miss? So what did I do? So if you go to the WWE Network on your phone, they have that 30-second rewind button.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the end of Nitro, and I rerounded the entire Nitro.
That's dedication, folks. He does this for you.
This wasn't here!
I was like, this never happened on Nitro.
This what never is happening here? Happened.
What is happening?
This is the old promo when Rodman was here last time.
God damn it. Either that or after they went off the air, did they go down to the ring eventually?
Maybe.
I mean...
A dark promo?
Yeah, that.
Of course. So eight promos. So one of them was right.
Damn it, Hogan.
We had eight. We have eight promos because this is a mystery one.
God damn it.
So yeah.
Only Hogan.
Only Hogan and WCW for showing stuff that never happened on the previous 3 days ago. Well, we had seven matches on Nitro. Let's see how many matches we get on this 2-hour episode. Let's go to our first match of the night. And it's Scotty Riggs versus Dean Malenko.
Odd pairing.
Scotty Riggs' tongue motions, la la la.
Bang.
Bang. As the NWO still hangs out in front of the ramp. I wonder how long they're going to be out for. The whole night?
We'll see.
I thought this match was okay. Malenko wins with the Texas Cloverleaf.
There's no way Bischoff's paying attention to this match.
Not one damn bit. This match, like I said, was okay. Yeah, just right. Yeah. Something newish. But we get a recap of Goldberg. It's the package of Goldberg that they've already done. And what has he done in this past, you know what, 6 months?
They have seven.
Seven. At least it's not like that ticking time
one. Yeah, that one sucked.
We get a promo from Chris Jericho, and he calls out J.J. Dillon, says that he will get the title handed back to him within the next hour. As the NWO is still out there just watching, going, huh, okay.
What else?
Hear me out. Second match of the night. Billy Kidman.
Okay.
Versus Juventud Guerrero.
No way.
This is the 1998 version of the 2018 Rollins versus Ziggler that went on every fucking week.
Right. And so you're saying these two are wrestling, right?
Yes. NWO pulled a Sting when Sting saw Alex Wright. They went, nah, we good. We out. We've seen it before. Move on out.
Giant's like, life's too short.
Lee Marshall was off one again when during the match, it's Hoovy and them, and Marshall's like, Billy Kidman was, before he joined the flock, he was destined for a Cruiserweight title or maybe a television title.
What? Okay.
Somehow, Kidman was destined for a title. And there's blue trunks and the 1960 Leave It to Beaver comb over haircut at the time before he got onto drugs.
Lee Marshall.
Drugs saved Kidman's life.
Lee Marshall is fucking high. Yeah, this is the one time where the drug habit helped.
I believe Reese comes out, costs Kidman a match. Not Kidman, Hoovy the match. We get a promo with Thunder Tony and Lex Luger. Luger says that DDP still has a spot in the Wolfpack. They show the ending from last week's main event when they won the title. And then Luger says, all right, Giant, you want a match? You and the Disciple versus me and the Macho Man. So, let me ask you, what's your thoughts on this main event we have for Thunder tonight? Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Lex Luger versus the Giant and the Booty Man. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Brutus the Barber. Brutus,
no, the Zodiac.
The Butcher.
The Butcher. No. God, the Disciple.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Are we
in favor of one team and then the other one's like, I mean, nah,
one
good.
Team is a little more stacked than the other. I like the idea that the Wolfpack are all kind of buddy-buddy, and you could have any combination.
It's like a Freebird type
thing. Yeah, you're not going to get Luger and Sting necessarily. You might get Conan and Sting, or Macho and Luger, or Nash and Macho, or whoever.
Yeah.
I like that. So that's cool. Why is Macho Man working so many matches with that
Doesn't
torn
he
ACL?
Have a torn ACL?
He does.
Okay.
And he's held together by, like, bubble gum at this point. And, you know, Slim Jim residue.
He is being held together by the zebra gum that is good for two bites. Right. And then
it's just trash.
Yeah. His knee is losing the flavor of the gum.
I'd have been like, man, can't you just put Conan in this match or something
right?
like that?
No,
like,
Conan's too busy with Goldberg and Kurt Hennig.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, good enough paper. I mean, it's a better main event than Nitro had.
Yeah, I agree. Luger leaves, go to commercial, we come back, and look who's back out in the Hollywood chairs. It's Eric Bischoff and Bret Hart, and they're cutting a promo, and Bret Hart wants Chris Benoit to join the NWO.
It's an interesting fit.
Says the reason why Benoit is here is because of Bret Hart.
And his family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not wrong.
It's not wrong, but
it's not wrong.
It's an interesting...
It's an interesting dot to connect, but...
Yeah. And it's an interesting idea
of,
hey, Chris Benoit, join us.
He does seem to like being in groups.
He has come out. He was part of the Horsemen.
Still wears the Horsemen tights.
Still wears the Horsemen
Just have
tights.
Some black and white tights, buddy.
All right. So this leads us to our... Next match, third match of the night. We're halfway there from Nitro.
This is a long match, too.
Yes, Chris Benoit versus Booker T. Best of seven series. It is tied 3-3. Benoit walks down. Bret Hart gives him a little smirk. You know, gives Bret a little smirk on this. You have to remember, throughout the months, Chris Benoit has come out wearing
the Hitman
hockey jerseys.
Yeah.
So there is that connection, because when Bret was face, he would come out wearing the same thing.
That's true.
The Deathlock Surfboard. Nobody does that move lately. And it was impressive as shit.
It was cool looking.
Yeah.
Someone needs to bring that back.
Right? I think this match was killed a little bit with the two commercial breaks.
I mean, I don't know if they just didn't have enough guys there, but they really stretched this
out. They stretched this up, yeah. Well, two commercials, and that's a minute and a half, minute 45 each. So that's 3-4 minutes there combined. So that's 4 minutes there.
And they went. I'd say they went at least 20.
Yeah.
Long time for a Thunder. It was a good match again.
Yeah.
I still say match two. Match two is the best one.
Bret Hart comes down as the Benoit is distracting the ref and hits Booker T with the chair.
Right on the back of the noggin.
Right on the back of the noggin. Nick Patrick turns around, starts doing the 10 count as Bret Hart's yelling, I did this for you. I did it for Benoit. And Benoit goes, stops him, Nick Patrick, at the count of eight and goes, he hit him with the chair and gives Booker T the win.
Well, I guess he won't be joining the NWO Hollywood faction.
Yeah. Maybe Wolfpack.
The one thing I did like is Brett's like, what a moron. He just couldn't believe it. His reactions were really good.
What are you doing?
Like, again, it's reminding me that even though he has no business being a heel right now.
Yeah.
He should be the savior of WCW, if you look at everything that should have happened. This is reminding me of last year in WF. He was so good as a heel.
He was.
Is that just son of a bitch?
Right. Does WCW know what they're doing with Chris Benoit?
No.
Because they went heel with him for a little bit. Like, three of the seven matches, he was heel.
Yeah.
The heelest of heels.
They have no
clue. He sneak attacked him at promos. They'd gone for the handshake. He would not do it. So they went full heel with him at some points of the storyline. Now he's gone full circle, and now he's back to being a babyface?
Yes.
Okay.
Makes no sense.
Now we go to Thunder Tony with Dean Malenko. Dean gives J.J. Dillon the title and says that he wants a match with him with Jericho at the Great American Bash so he can win the title back. Jericho comes out wanting the title. J.J. Dillon says that Chris Jericho and Malenko will have a match at the Great American Bash. Jericho starts whining and complaining. Then Chris Jericho's dad comes out and says that he's disappointed in him for crying and whining, and he wants him to earn the title back from Malenko.
Nice little cameo from Jericho's dad.
Right?
NHL legend Ted Irvin.
Excuse me. Next match. Oh, sorry. Recap. Hogan and Rodman hitting DDP with the chairs. Next match. Match number 4.
Yep.
Conan versus Scott Putski.
What the fuck, man?
Putski was terrible in this match.
He's terrible in every match.
But, like, my joke is, he made Conan look good.
Yeah, because Conan don't give a fuck. Yeah, no, this was not good. This was all not good.
No, this was like, yeah.
Why is Scott Putski on my TV?
Like I said, Conan is getting to that point where he's the fan favorite, and
I can quit trying,
but Putski made him try, and it was terrible.
He probably got heat in the back for that, too. He made me work.
He's done here.
Yeah.
Next match, and we're still continuing the battle of the kicks, the super kicks, the side kicks, the chronic kicks. It is a kicks that you know.
Saw a different kick in this match.
Yes. And you just know this match won't end with a kick because it's match number 5. It's Glacier that doesn't get an entrance versus Saturn.
Ooh. When the guy whose whole gimmick is the entrance gets a jobber entrance, that's not good.
Yes. Raven and the Riot Squad come out instantly right after the bell rings. Glacier goes for a chronic kick. Saturn goes for a chronic kick. Glacier goes high. Saturn goes low. Kick to the dick.
Direct, man. This was harsh.
Woo! Direct kick to the kick, but then to the groin that leads to the Death Valley driver for the 1, 2, 3. Now we go from the storyline of Battle of the Kicks to the storyline within a storyline of Saturn and Canyon and Raven. Raven Canyon, Saturn Canyon, and Saturn. Raven grabs the mic. What about me? What about Raven? Canyon, come out to Raven. I'll set you free.
But then he turns on the security.
Turns on the security and fires them all because he's been pointless. Saturn and Raven attack the Riot Squad until you find out that one of the members of the Riot Squad was Canyon. Flock runs out, chases Canyon through the crowd. You think J.J. Dillon would do anything about it? Probably not.
Probably not.
But
you settle that yourselves.
You settle that yourselves. But J.J. Dillon will settle the Best of 7 series with this collusion of, you know, Bret Hart and Chris Benoit. So J.J. Dillon comes out and he says, I reviewed the tape and I've talked to Booker. So Booker come out. Booker takes a while. Booker T says that he wants one more match with Chris Benoit because he doesn't like the way how the last match finished with him getting hit in the back of the head with a chair.
Stevie Ray is apoplectic.
Right? Stevie Ray is like, what are you doing, man? You're the man. You're the champ. You're the champ.
Don't do this. He's a sucker.
So J.J. Dillon throws out the results of tonight's match. So as we said on the Monday Night War Stories, at this upcoming Sunday, at this upcoming pay-per-view War Stories, it's going to be match 7.5 between Chris Benoit And Booker T, winner, faces Fit Finley that night.
Yes.
Once again, Steve Ray wasn't having any of it. You know what we're not going to have of? This promo of Eric Bischoff and Miss Elizabeth. Elizabeth just says that she left Macho. Says that the only person that's macho around her is Eric Bischoff.
Of course. She does love his checkbook, though.
Tells Macho to get his stuff in order because she has. Nice shot there. You know,
yeah.
You know, get a calendar book, man. You know. Write your dates down and all that stuff because that's what I've done. And she calls Eric the real Macho Man.
It doesn't lead anywhere.
It does not at all. This leads to our recap of Nitro of Macho and Piper beating each other up. And then they show how Miss Elizabeth is making out with Eric Bischoff. That's your recap for Nitro. Corey, we fell one match short because we're already at the main event.
But I mean, in a 2-hour show, that's not bad.
That's not bad. That's 6 matches.
And the one went really long, so we would have had 7.
Yeah. Well, you know, WCW didn't want to fly anybody out. Oh, they flew everybody out and just didn't use them.
Yeah, there you go.
Main event time. It's the Giant and the Disciple. Booty Man.
Brute Force.
Nick should have called them that, the tag team.
He's got tons of names.
Versus Macho Man and Lex Luger. Match starts and Bischoff and Elizabeth already come down and distract Macho. Hogan and Bret Hart jump Macho at the limo. Nash tries to make the save, but the Giant runs and attacks him. We ran out of time!
What a cluster.
So our true main event
was Saturn and Glacier.
Battle of Kicks.
The Battle of the Kick and the Dick. It was better than Nitro.
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
The kick to the groin alone.
Alone gets it.
Destroyed.
The crowd, man, when he did that.
Yeah.
I've never heard a crowd, like, collectively groan.
Ooh. Like, oh, yeah. It was a straight kick.
Yeah.
Oh. So, Corey, one thing before we move on to the new segment.
Okay.
What should have been on Nitro?
Everything? They should have just did this on Monday.
So you didn't say everything.
Yeah, like,
I agree. Fuck
Nitro
it.
Sucked.
Yeah.
This Nitro sucked. Should have been on Nitro.
You know what? Less Hogan promos in this.
Exactly.
So
go figure.
Let's go to everybody's new favorite segment on the show. It's Corey's high point, low point, and the extra point.
The high point is Les Hogan made this a much easier show to watch.
Yeah.
Amazingly much easier. And notice another byproduct of Hogan not being there, Bret Hart actually got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
And doing his own recruiting.
Yeah. Low point. He's not that good at the recruiting. He needs to take some he needs to watch what Luger does. And maybe try to copy him. That's
so,
probably the only thing he needs
so,
to watch Luger on a copy.
So what Luger needs to do, I mean, Hart has to do, go back in time and become Chris Benoit's friend for like 10, 15 years.
Right?
And then he'll get him
and
to join.
And just play on the friendship.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We've been through everything together.
We've been through the dungeon.
Take the step with me, man. But he didn't.
Walk
and
with
so,
Hart, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't get it. And the extra point... This was just so much better than Nitro. It's ridiculous. Thunder should not be better than Nitro.
Yeah.
And especially not to this level on the go home.
Yeah.
It did a good job setting up the undercard. It set up the Cruiserweight match, the TV title gimmicks, Raven and Canyon. It did a good job of setting up the undercard of the Great American Bash.
You know what didn't? Nitro.
Yeah, exactly.
Nitro was Raven on even on Nitro. He was at... Was he?
He came down, but he didn't do
shit.
It?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is the freaking Hogan promo that wasn't even there.
Right? Like, what? This company's falling apart at the seams.
Yeah. And it's just pretty funny now just to, like, blinking red lights on how this show and company is being ran
right
now.
It's just like, oh. It's funny that I didn't see it at the time. Maybe it's because I had blinders on, or maybe it's because I was 18 and wasn't so, like, critical. But man, going back and watching now, it's like, Jesus, this is a falling apart rapidly right in front of my face.
Yeah.
It's still my favorite year of WCW ever, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I can't wait for 99 and all that good stuff. Like, I can't wait for those, the last couple years of WCW.
It'll be fun to watch.
What's fun to watch is the No Sell Entertainment website.
Yes, it is.
Soon, have a makeover soon.
Oh, yeah, it's going to get a new fancy look. Me dancing in cages.
Nice.
It's going to be nosellentertainment.com, the place for all of the cool people to hang out. You can read things. People still read, right, Joe? Well, you never started. But
I don't know. I have audiobook.
Okay. Well, if people who do read can read things like That's My Opinion by Mike Buble, or The Dekai Sensei by Jeff Mack, or the 10 counts that come up every once in a while by different people. If they don't like to read, they
like
can
me.
Listen to podcasts. We have many podcasts, like the No Sell podcast, the Monday Night War Stories, the Pay-Per-View War Stories, coming up, the Great American Bash 1998, by the way. We also have the Thundercast, which you're just now listening to. And, of course, the little passion project that could, The Q.
Well, this week here in The Q, you're going to be able to listen to a 1986 Kung Fu movie that it's like the store brand version of Karate Kid, but with a Jacob Ladders twist.
So, I mean, they're trying. I mean, obviously, Karate Kid had already come out, so.
No, it hasn't.
It hadn't?
No, 86. Karate Kid comes out 87,
Does it?
I think.
Fuck, I thought it was like 86.
I feel like it's the store brand version, at least. It has, 84, I apologize. 84. So, 3 years later, 2 years later, it comes out. It's the store brand version.
I thought, because that was one of the few, the first William Zabka plays a dick movies.
Yeah. So this week here on The Q, we did No Retreat, No Surrender. Basically, this movie's about a kid who loves karate, but the karate game is being run by mob. Ooh. By the mob.
They got their hands in everything.
Oh, especially in a dojo.
Right.
So this kid needs training because he gets beat up in Seattle. So what does he do? Calls on forth the spirit of Bruce Lee.
As one does.
And Bruce Lee's ghost shows up. And this is where the Jacob Ladder.
Because Bruce Lee's ghost, little known fact, played by Mark Haskins.
Wrong.
Oh, no.
No.
Dennis Haskins? Mr. Belding?
Hey.
What is going on here?
You need to learn Kung Fu? I got you. Nope. Some random stunt double.
Okay.
But that's here this week on The Q. Then next week, it's a Keanu movie.
Ooh. Always good for Keanu.
Yeah. It's the summer of Keanu.
I like that.
I'm 20 years ahead of the game on that. Yeah. So.
It's true.
That's it. That's all you can listen to.
That's it. We shot our shot.
Yep.
Oh, Twitter.
Twitter.
We didn't do that on the last show.
I know.
That kayfabe guy for me.
That Dong Sheen.
Yeah, for you.
Or at the Dong Sheen.
The
producer's on.
Yeah. And No Sell ENT.
Yep, that's about it. Stay fresh, cheese bags.